97 FM, Arizona's sports station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
He's one of those guys, he's like a lunch bell guy.
That blue collar appeals are coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Wolf and Luke to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL. Brought to you by Wekopa Casino Resort. Get to WKP Sports for Football Frenzy every Monday at the all-new Wekopa Casino Resort.
Oh, baby, what a hit by Lorenzo Alexander.
Y'all see it?
Yeah, Lorenzo Alexander is here, as he is every Thursday. So, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Hanging tough. Things are going well at the house. The league is going well. Thank you for everybody that came out last week to Chestnut and helped the foundation raise a little bit of money. And grad school is going well as well. So, it's been a productive week, and I'm excited about it.
And you used to play... Most recently for the Bills, and you live in Arizona, and they probably are the two best teams in the NFL.
Oh yeah, no, that's always
too,
great.
Huh?
Yeah, no, the Sunday night was definitely fun watching the Bills tear apart the Chiefs a little bit there. So That was good. And then obviously what Kyler and them boys have been able to do over the last 5 weeks, and just seeing the growth is really fun. You can just kind of see the excitement kind of building as far as what this team is going to look like when it starts getting into November and December.
And Zoe, you're still heavily involved with the Bills Mafia, right? In Orchard Park?
Yeah,
you never get out, right?
You can't help. No, once you're indoctrinated into that group specifically, I mean, you're always – I mean, and it's a huge representation of Bills Mafia out here in the Valley, obviously because it's warm. And so you get a lot of transplants here. So, yeah, that's one of the coolest things. And Bills Mafia is like – everywhere. It's one of the few fan bases, like wherever you go, if you wear some Bills gear, somebody's going to come up to you and say something.
Hey, that's the North, baby. They scatter. They're not dumb.
Did you know it was like that when you first went there to play?
I had no clue. My thing was like, it snowed, and who wants to go to Buffalo? I mean, that was my ignorance at the time, right? And once I got there, got to meet the people, learn about the culture, learn about Bills Mafia, the history of the organization in that city, and just everything that those people do for not just the players as far as showing up and cheering to be passionate on Sundays, but just how they're engaged in the players and their missions as far as what they want to do in the community,
support,
too.
Man.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I had people like hit me up, hey, when can I volunteer? Do this? Sure. Bright and early showing up at events. And so that's what I really appreciated living up in Buffalo. I even remember like a snow game. It might have been the Colts game where it was just blizzarding. And I can't get in my driveway, and I had about five or six people come out and help push me up into the driveway. And that was just the nature of it. And it wasn't because I was an NFL player. It was because I was their neighbor, and they would do that for anybody.
Yep. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool. The win for the Cardinals on Sunday, you mentioned that they're on a nice run here, 5-0. The win was costly, though. You lose Max Williams for the year. You're not going to have Rodney Hudson this season. So let's just start there.
Rodney's out for the year, too?
Not the season, this week.
Okay.
Yeah. Big distinction there. Not going to be there this week. I was trying to read something.
Everybody calm down. Yeah, Rodney will be back.
Yeah. I will lose my mind if Rodney Hudson's out for the season.
I was kind of looking at you cross-eyed as well.
This is
right
why Zoe's here. Rodney Hudson's out for this week. No, but for this week, though, now you look ahead to the rest of the season, how much does not having Max Williams change, or does it have to change, how you run your offense?
I don't know if it's going to change, because they do a lot of misdirection, a lot of outside stuff. I think, you know, me and Wolf kind of talk, one of the things that Max brings, I think, is a sense of physicality. I mean, you can just see a couple of runs in the 49ers where that's a physical team, and he is finishing guys. I mean, one, I think, was a penalty, but I didn't care because the dude ended up on his back, and I think the ref just felt sorry for that corner and Maxwell putting his hands on him that way. And I think that is one of the biggest things that they're going to lose as far as him not having that presence. And then I think he became a big-time safety net. He's really took a step forward this year in the passing game. Obviously, that's what Kyler Murray being able to work through his progressions and being okay with checking the ball down and allowing Max going to work. So those two areas is where somebody's going to have to step up and really take on That physical identity and then that production that Max was having in the passing game.
See, and it's because of that. I don't know if they have a tight end that can actually get in line and be a stud tight end.
Right.
I don't know if they've got that guy. And because of that, that is going to change your scheme. I think you could build an argument that Max Williams brings balance to this offense. He brings so much to this offense in terms of run blocking and catching the ball that he brings that. He is the physical representation of balance, I think, in the offense. With Rodney, I don't think the scheme changes with Rodney Hudson out. I don't think it's going to change at all. Yeah. Now, your success rate
will change.
Your success rate.
Which is also
but
important.
I don't think the scheme is going to change. With Max Williams, I think the scheme changes a little bit.
Well, I think this is an opportunity for Kliff, in which he's an innovator, right? And so I don't think they have to change their scheme as much. Maybe you have a little bit more window dressing, right? So if you don't have a guy that blocks as well, the way you can help him is throw a little window dressing on it, and it slows down the defense as far as not just lining up being stagnant. And they already do a great job of, you know, motioning, you know, Rondale Moore into the backfield, the jet motion people across, and it slows you down a little bit before you can take off. So
the
just maybe adding some of that, having the tight end, because I didn't see Max doing any type of those seal blocks as we talk about, where he's lined up off the line of scrimmage and on the snap of the ball he goes back across. That helps a guy that can't block very well, right, because then you can utilize the cut. So I think it's just the plays won't change, just the way they start and begin may look a little different, and they can still stay in their offense.
Like you said, too, he had kind of become a safety net for Kyler Murray, and he's got all these other weapons. So, I mean, if a team could afford to lose a weapon, I guess it's the Cardinals, but he seemed like a unique weapon on this team in the sense that he wasn't a big receiving guy last year, really even throughout most of his career other than his rookie year, but he was this year. He's a big part of the passing game. Is that something you put an emphasis on, okay, we got to replace that? Or do you just kind of say, we've got all these receivers, we've already got running backs we can throw to, we're more concerned just about the blocking?
Right. I think it's more about the blocking, his physical presence, than the production in the passing game. Not that he's replaceable, but I think somebody can be a much closer replica of what he does in the passing game than with the physicality that he brings, because that's just unique in this day and age of football. So I think that's going to be harder to replace versus, you know, the production, because they have other guys they can scheme up, whoever else is the check down, maybe it's a running back instead, or, you know, just they can put a different guy in that space. But it's hard to replicate just that physical nature that he brought every single game.
So with Max Garcia, that is actually going to get a lot of the reps, of course, at center now. You don't think that's going to change the scheme at all, right? Are you on the same page with me on that?
Yeah, I'm on the same page with you that. I mean, you have a offensive line, you can't really change the scheme. I mean, that's like the core and the foundation of what you do. To your point, there may be a little bit more pressure, right?
Because
Max Garcia isn't Rodney Hudson, who hasn't given up any pressure at all, really, this year. Max Garcia probably doesn't have the same rep count as far as understanding defenses and be able to really be confident, right? And then to that point, Kyler hasn't built, and I'm just saying this, doesn't have the same relationship as far as the reps they've had together, right? Not to say that they're not friends or he doesn't trust them, but that continuity when you walk out onto the field and you are trusting without a doubt when he calls out the mic or suggests that it's a zero blitz or number 25 is blitzing, there's no hesitation there, right, when Rodney Hudson is a game. That may affect Kyler. It's going to affect Kyler because it's a different guy that you have to work with that's not Rodney Hudson, and that's no shot at Max. Rodney Hudson is just a different dude,
right,
different player, and we've seen that throughout the duration of his career.
Coming up, the fallout continues from John Gruden's leaked emails. So what's next around the NFL? The lowdown will continue with Lorenzo Alexander. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
He's one of those guys, he's like a lunch bell guy.
That blue collar appeals are coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Wolf and Luke to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL. Brought to you by WecoPa Casino Resort.
Get to WKP Sports for Football Frenzy every Monday at the all-new Wico Pa Casino Resort.
Oh, baby, what a hit by Lorenzo Alexander.
Y'all see it?
Yeah, Zoe is here as we kind of go around the NFL. The biggest story this week off the field has certainly been the whole John Gruden thing with the leaked emails, the Washington Football Team investigation. Gruden's obviously out in Vegas, so they're going to be running the team that looked like what they were 3-0 to start the season. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, you're mixing it up midseason. I guess let's start there. And we don't even need to get into like any of the details of the Gruden stuff specifically, but I'll play this clip from Derek Carr. The Raiders started the season 3-0, and now midseason you got to switch a coach. That's not, from a player's perspective, something you typically are used to doing.
Y'all know me, man. I don't condone that kind of talk. I don't talk that way. My kids sure as heck will never talk that way. And it's hard because I love the man so much. You know what I mean? Like, I have family members that have done things. I've done things that I'm glad that I'm still loved, you know. And I think more than anything, coach needs people to help him, to love him in whatever areas, you know, that we can. But at the same time, what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong.
It is a weird spot if you're Derek Carr or you're somebody on that team, Zoe, because you're not usually switching coaches when you're winning.
Right. And I think, to your point, you know, kind of addressing the Gruden emails and everything that went down, and really listening to Derek Carr. You asked me before, did I know Gruden? I don't really know him, but I know Derek Carr. Mm. And, you know, hearing that clip right there really embodies who he is. Obviously, you can tell that he's a Christian. That is who he is. He lives it every single day, and mm-hmm. he has a certain standard of life, and he understands that none of us are perfect, right? And that through that process, we have to extend grace, but at the same time, we have to address the sin itself, right? So, you know, wherever you fall on and what you consider sin, that's something completely different. But in this case, I think we all can agree on what Gruden said in those emails, what he at one point thought. I don't know if it's changed because he's never come out and said anything, is a bad perspective to have, right? And I think if you do know somebody like that, if Gruden was ever to express himself the way he did in those emails in the presence of somebody like Derek Carr, us as friends and people, we have to be courageous enough to address it.
Amen.
And that point.
Yeah.
Yep. Because the issue is that, and it was part of the culture back then too, and still is in some pockets. People won't say it out loud, but they get into pockets where things are said, and somebody may feel like, man, he shouldn't really said that, but it's Gruden, he's my boy, and so I'm going to leave him alone. Nah, yeah. You're not being his boy. We have to be courageous enough and love the guy next to us enough, or woman, to confront them when we know they're in the wrong and be able to address that situation and help change their trajectory. And by that, you save everybody a lot of pain, right? Mm-hmm. You save that person, Gruden's, from pain, his family, right, his kids, the people around him, this organization as a whole, just by stepping up and saying something. Too often we get comfortable and we think being a friend is letting him be him.
Great point.
Be proactive.
Right. You have to be proactive. And so this is really just a message, you know, to anybody out there, because we all have people like that, that we have to hold them accountable. That's part of a friendship, holding people accountable to saying of who they say they are. Make sure they uphold that at all times, and don't allow them to slip, because that slippery slope allows them to create an instance like this that was produced in those emails.
You know, for me, I can tell you, my king commands me to love everybody and judge nobody.
Right.
And I know you know that very, very well, lest I be judged myself. There is one that will judge, but it's not going to be me. In this situation, I will tell you right now, it bummed me out so badly in regard to John Gruden, because I loved his scheme. Mm-hmm. I loved his philosophy.
Right.
I loved his swag. I loved everything about how he was a coach. He had a modicum of old school attached to him. But I was so disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember whose quote it was that really summed it up. They were just like, I think it was Sean McVay, actually. He's like, I'm just sad for everybody, basically. That is sort of the situation. Because like you said, Zoe, it did sort of just seem like this is maybe something that could have been unlearned a while ago by John Gruden.
Yeah, and then from, you know, John Gruden's perspective, I don't know if he's come out and has like a proper apology, but based on what I did know, you know, going into yesterday or ending yesterday, he hadn't, right?
Yeah.
And so this would have been a great opportunity to say, hey, this is what the culture was, right? Because we all live in different communities and perspectives, and certain things are okay in those groups, which maybe they shouldn't be. But once you get around people, he has players, obviously, on his team that are gay. He has women that work in that staff, right? Yep. This would have been a great opportunity. And I haven't heard anything, you know, as far as how he's worked with people currently. This would have been a great opportunity. Hey, that's who I was. I've actually been exposed and built relationships with people that I actually were offending in those emails. And my perspective, really based off these last 3 or 4 years coaching this organization, everything that's happened in the world, my perspective has changed.
Yeah.
Right. And that would have been a much better response to adversity, facing it straight on, letting people know that, hey, I've changed. Here's the proof. And moving forward. But he's kind of like drifted away, you know, kind of silent, like, I'm just going to resign and go hide.
Yeah.
And that doesn't help anybody. This is actually a great time for him to be impactful in a positive way in the midst of a storm.
So when you look at the Raiders, not to shift gears here, right, there's no easy way to do it. But
no.
When you look at the Raiders in terms of wins and losses, where do you think their season goes from this point?
I know some of the guys like Derek Carr, so I know they have some strong leadership points. I don't know when you have such a shift. The special teams coach is taking over. Obviously, the offensive coordinator is there, but it's still just so much drama around it, because I've been a part of that culture before, where you're going to be – you could win a game, and you're going to be asked about John Gruden now, right? Every single week is going to be something around that.
Yes.
And so – it's hard enough to win the league, and now you have this. I don't know where they end up. You know, probably around the 500 mark. I think they're a better team than that. But and maybe even worse, things maybe even fall off the rails just because of all that happened.
It's almost like you got to know what kind of leadership they have inside that locker room.
Right,
what
yeah.
What kind of dudes they have inside that locker room. Because that I think, is it's going to come down to that.
Right. And they may bond around this, right?
You know, right,
obviously,
exactly.
Gruden is no longer in the pitch. It'd be one thing if they kept him on board and then they have to play for a guy that they may not necessarily respect because of the things that he said, right,
yeah.
That it impacts so many different people. But I guess by removing him in some way, they can now focus. They don't have to see him every day or have to, you know, like, hear him speak one thing, like, I don't believe what you're saying.
Yeah.
So, it you know, by him removing himself, it may help, especially me knowing Derek, and I know there's some other leaders in that locker room as well, and galvanizing around. But it's just going to make – it just has made playing football – and that's kind of secondary when we in the grand scheme of things, but it's making playing the game at a high level much harder because you have all this other stuff around it that you have to worry about and answer to.
It's the second time, too, already this season where we've seen players have to answer for their coach. I remember a couple weeks ago we were watching Trevor Lawrence take questions about Urban Meyer. Like, Trevor Lawrence is a rookie quarterback. He's got his own problems. He's got to sit there and answer for his coach. Derek Carr's not a rookie. He's very established in this league. And I know it's not just him, but just to keep it with the quarterbacks, I mean, that's a responsibility you don't expect as a player. That's almost like having to answer for your parents.
Right. Yes. It's the last thing, because coaches always talk about that, especially when you're going to have a break or you're going to, you know, the off season. Hey, do not do anything that is going to tarnish, obviously, your name in this organization. I mean, that is a common thread through all coaches. And so this just shows that as much as they're saying it, they need to be leading by example as well, right? Because at the end of the day, I think your word, you know, only goes as far as your actions are. And just another great point on this is that you can't live a life of duality. Eventually, especially in this day and age, things are going to come to light.
Yeah.
Right? You got to choose who you are, whether people are looking at you or not.
Amen.
Whether you're on TV, the radio, or you chilling in the middle of rural America, right? You have to be who you're going to be, and hopefully that is a good, loving, genuine person that cares for everyone and having that perspective. So because it's going to shine on you at some point. I mean, social media, emails, investigations, stuff that you can't control eventually will bring the dark to light.
Yeah, a lot easier too. I think just healthier to live as one person.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to. What if that? Because I bet you there's a ton of people right now sitting somewhere because there's 650,000 emails, right? That I hope they don't. Did I send it to that account or what account was I using then? There's a whole bunch of people sitting real tight right now. You don't want to live a life like that.
It's not worth it.
Life is already hard enough.
Yeah, why make it harder on yourself? Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, we'll get back into football. The Cardinals matchup with Cleveland, obviously stopping the run is going to be huge. Obviously, Lorenzo Alexander has some experience stopping the run, so we'll ask him for his insight next. It is the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
He's one of those guys, he's like a lunch bell guy.
That blue collar appeal to coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Wolf and Luke to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL. Brought to you by Wekopa Casino Resort. Get to WKP Sports for Football Frenzy every Monday at the all-new Wekopa Casino Resort.
Oh, baby, what a hit by Lorenzo Alexander.
Y'all see it?
Well, you know it's going to be an issue when you face the Cleveland Browns. They run the football pretty well with Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb. That's where they want to start everything. Wolf, you've been saying it all week. You really want to get them out of that mode and sort of force Baker Mayfield to beat you. Not like Baker Mayfield's a bad player, but you would just rather get them away from their strength. So I'm sure you've played teams like this where it's like you know they want to run. You know they can run. They've got more than one guy back there. So when you look specifically at Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, how different are they in your mind?
I mean, they're power runners at their core.
Yeah.
They may have a little bit different tendencies as far as, you know, cutting and vision and how they hit or who wants to bounce more. But at the end of the day, it's about power football. And fortunately, you say have played a team similar. I think this Cleveland Browns, especially their run game, is very similar to the Tennessee Titans. When we talk about just lining up, you know, Tennessee Titans have Derrick Henry and we're better than you. I think they have that same mentality in the Cleveland Browns. They want to just line up and say, we're better than you. We got two great backs. Our offensive line is nice. We got a couple of all pros on our offensive line. And we don't need all of that window dressing. We don't need a whole bunch of jet motions and people pulling. We're just going to zone, knock you off the ball, power, knock you off the ball, and you're going to take it and like it. And so if we go back to see how the Arizona defense did versus the Tennessee Titans, that was fine because a guy like Zaven Collins, he's straight downhill. If he has no other strength, that is his superpower.
Yeah.
Oh, you running downhill? Okay, I can run right through you, be in my gap, and be fine. I don't have to process too much with all this motion and pre-snap seal blocks and things of that nature. So I feel that based on what I've seen before. And just watching these guys play in the Arizona Cardinals defense, they're going to do much better this week in the run game when it comes to these guys because it is fairly vanilla when it comes to trying to confuse you. The Cleveland Browns aren't in the field of trying to, you know, trick you.
Can they do it again, right? And that's what I'm thinking of. Can they do it again just the way they came out? Surprise!
Right.
The Tennessee Titans and shut down Derrick Henry. Can they do it again?
I say they can. One other point of emphasis that they're probably going to have to work on this week is the crack and replace. I think they struggled a little bit. When the wide receiver goes and cracks the support, a lot of times it's the safety, Buda Baker or Isaiah Simmons, when he's kind of lined up there, having the corners come up, doing a better job in that regard. But other than that, I feel like because you've seen all this crazy stuff from the Rams, the Niners, even the Vikings to some regard, and now you're going to get a team that's just going to line up and stay still. When I got that, I was, oh, man, the game is slowed down now. I know where you're going. All right, I'm just going to beat you there and be more physical than
you
are.
But see, that's what they bank on right there. They're just going to line up. They're not going to try to trick you.
Yeah.
They're going to try to truck you.
Right.
That's what they're going to do.
And I'm going to rock with the Arizona Cardinals with that in that matchup. I just like their physicality. I like the way they're playing. Isaiah Simmons is flying around. Zaven Collins is starting to progress a little bit. I saw him use his hands a couple of times to get off some blocks. Right? I was like, okay, all right. It's coming. It's not consistent yet, but it's coming. You know, Jordan Hicks playing downhill. When those guys are coming downhill and they know where their gaps are, it's hard to be successful against that. And I think that and is going to help them this week because the Cleveland Browns are just line up and I'm going to be better than you and truck you.
Yes. The only thing I would say, though, is I think this is the best run-blocking offensive line the Arizona Cardinals have seen so far.
Right.
I think it's the best run-blocking offensive line. I think Jack Conklin might be the best right tackle, especially in terms of run-blocking in the National Football League. I think Joel Bitonio as well is another good. Their guards are really good.
The best running team, 188 yards per game.
I think their offensive line for the most part, just watching them on tape, I think they come off the ball and do a really good job, I should say, at the point of attack. But that's going to be the difference right here. And I think Baker Mayfield needs to be in a balanced offense him to be effective.
He lives off the play action. I mean, it's much similar to, you know, Jared Goff of the world, those type of quarterbacks that he's not going to sit back there and beat you 50 times. And for whatever reason, when OBJ is on the field, too, it gets worse to some regard. I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
He had a good game last week overall, I think. But they have the ability to go out there, dominate the line of scrimmage. We've seen them do it. I hate that Chandler Jones is out. Obviously, we know what he's able to do in the pass rush and create pressure, even though he hasn't had sacks. But he plays the run at a high level. So we're going to see more of Kennard out there, as we did late in that last game. And just so can he step up and make the plays that he needs to make in the run game, be physical? So that's what I'm going to be looking at as the game develops.
You said, you know, before, it kind of slows down when you just know what the team's going to do, even if it's tough. Did you have a preference, or is there a preference just in general of, you know, you face Tennessee, and I know it sucks to tackle Derrick Henry, but it's Derrick Henry all game.
Right.
Whereas Cleveland, it's almost like they have two guys doing Derrick Henry's job. So maybe take Derrick Henry out of the equation. Is it tougher to go against a team where it's just one guy or two guys doing the work?
It's tougher when guys are drastically different.
Okay.
You know, so if you have like a LeSean McCoy and then a Derrick Henry, you know, and there's two guys that they have that are like that
that'd be
contrast,
a terrifying
right?
backfield, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Now I got to know who's the running back there because I can't – if it's Derrick Henry, I got to come down. If it's LeSean, I may need to break down or I'm going to miss him, you know.
Yeah.
So that's when it becomes hard when it's a dual attack is when the guys vary. And to me, Kareem Hunt and Chubb are closer together than, you know, than that.
It's
kind of
like what I love about the Cardinals with James Conner.
Right.
Edmonds,
yeah.
Little one and two punch right there. A little different.
All right, we come back. We're going to keep Zoe around. We're going to mix it up, though, and we are going to talk a little basketball, Zoe. We're going to get your thoughts on what it's like to be in that Suns locker room right now on a team where there are two guys that are up for those max – well, not max extensions for Mikal Bridges, but two guys up for extensions. Still not done. We'll get into that next. It is the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
23 years in the National Football League, and I can tell you this. There is nobody that I admire and respect more than Lorenzo Alexander.
He's one of those guys, he's like a lunch bell guy.
That blue collar appeal to coming to work. He's going to outwork you every single play.
15-year NFL veteran Lorenzo Alexander joins Wolf and Luke to give us the lowdown on the Cardinals and the NFL. Brought to you by Wekopa Casino Resort. Get to WKP Sports for Football Frenzy every Monday at the all-new Wekopa Casino Resort.
Oh, baby, what a hit by Lorenzo Alexander.
Y'all see it?
All right, so we're going to switch gears on you here, but this is what makes you so good on radio is your ability to talk any sports. We're going to throw a little basketball at you.
All right.
And not X's and O's, but just more so. You just looked at me like, all right, why are you doing this? The stuff with DeAndre Ayton, Wolf and I have been talking about this for the last really couple weeks, ever since we had Ayton on. Just, you know, is it worth the risk of, you know, maybe having this guy play angry this year, or could it possibly cause a divide in the locker room? All of that sort of aside, but just generally speaking, when you have a key player that is in really public negotiations like this, doesn't the locker room usually just take the player's side if they have to take a side?
Of course, it's your guy, especially if you if Ayton is likable too. I mean, that helps him, right?
Yeah.
You know, everybody's gonna be his boy. He's not like a jerk or one of those guys that's like, I'm over here, y'all over there. So yeah, I would definitely see this locker room easily taking his side, especially as we all witnessed the progression of who we thought he could be, right? And the consistency that really showed up in the playoffs. And so, everybody looking around was like, man, what y'all waiting for? This is what y'all wanted to see. He just gave it to you in the most critical time, playoff time. And so why aren't we, you know, paying him? It's probably some of the talks. You know, obviously some veteran play, you can also look at it from a consistency standpoint, because I am about to invest in you a significant amount of money. And so it comes down to, all right, well, I saw that, but we had to bring CP3 in here. Monty Williams had to constantly talk to you. James Jones had to, you know, approach you and discuss things about you, you know, right? So we had to manufacture that in you so you would be that person, right? And so when you, a lot of times, especially, you want to see, you don't want to have to worry about that when you make that type of investment. That player should just be showing up and giving you that without me having to pay you, and now I have to motivate you.
I got to get you to do what
we just saw. So that's always the balance of you know when do you pay a guy, when do you extend a guy. You know, when you look at it from a locker room perspective, you know, I know NBA is much different than the NFL because it's such player centric in the NBA. You see their faces, you know, it's always projecting talent. People, that's how people get drafted, and you saw it. So I don't see why DA would take a step back. You know, in my mind, you pretty much have the same supporting cast around him. And I think you want to create that continuity, and not a guy like that. I don't know how he does if he doesn't know where he's going to be. I don't know if that's a distraction for him personally. So it may end up hurting you longer trying to wait to see what he's going to do by not paying him.
You know, there was an old saying back when I was playing, you can have a young king, you can have an old king, but you cannot have a mad king in the locker room. And what they meant by that, of course, was you can have a young, really talented guy, you can have an old, talented guy that are viewed as kings in the locker room, but you can't have somebody that is extremely talented, and everyone knows he might be the most talented guy in the locker room, and yet for whatever reason, he can't seem to bring that talent consistently. And because of that, he's viewed as a pariah in the locker room. Do you know what I'm talking about in regard to players that were like this?
Yeah, I've been around guys like that. I mean, in Washington, I played with a few guys.
You don't have to name them. You don't have to name names. I was going to cut you off right there.
I'm not going to name his name. But I played with a few guys that were like that. But that was more about how they acted and how they treated other people and how they thought they were better than.
Yeah.
I think that was the worst part of them not being consistent. I think that made them not consistent.
Yeah.
In DA's case, it's just different because I think he is a likable guy. I think he is a positive presence in that locker room.
I agree.
He is just young and mature in the way where he hasn't learned how to be intrinsically motivated, right, or raise that standard. Because I think he thinks he's working hard, but it's a different standard, right? It ain't CP3 working hard, right?
Yeah.
It's two different standards. And both people think that they're working hard, but one is working harder than the other, right?
Yeah.
And so that is kind of the next thing that you want to see where he adopts it for himself and it goes to another level. And James Jones and Monty Williams and people around him get to see it. Because a guy that I invest in, right, I don't want to feel like I need to call them in the offseason and say, hey, make sure you come back in shape, right? You shouldn't have to do that. And so maybe those are some of the things that are putting the Suns in this position where they feel like they're dragging their feet a little bit. Let me see that maturity.
Yeah.
Let me see that, because then that's what I'm investing. When I see that maturity, him owning himself, okay, all right, we see it. We got you. It's not like I don't think that you're not a max player, because we know you are, but the consistency of being a max player and carrying that crown, there are certain things I want to see so we know that this is not just when CP3, because what happens when CP3 is not here?
Yeah.
Right, what happens in that regard? We don't have a guy that's really on you, making you come and watch film, showing you XYZ. Have you adopted it for yourself? And I think that is probably the biggest issue as far as them, you know, paying them now instead of, you know, maybe a couple of months from now.
Yeah, can we just pay you max money the 50 games a year when you play that max guy? Right. We'll kind of garnish your wages the other ones. Do guys care? Like, there's already stories out again, and this has been the Suns' reputation, fair or not, in the past, of like, okay, well, they don't want to pay their guys. If that reputation, do other players around the league care when they're looking for a team, or are they just like, look, this is the best offer, I'm just going to go here?
Well, yeah, the best offer normally trumps everything, but if you have two best offers or something similar, and a team has that about them, your offer is probably going to be lower than a competing team's anyway, right? So players are aware of that. Organizations, I mean, the Cardinals for a long time was that organization in the league. The Bengals, you know, probably to a certain extent, it still look like that as far as football-wise. And players are like, oh, well, no, I ain't going to probably go there because they ain't paying nobody. So, you know, when free agency comes up, you're going to probably be somewhere else in that regard. But so guys are aware, agents are aware of teams that pay their guys that they draft, or are they more of a free agent type of team? And so everybody builds, I guess, an identity when it comes to, you know, handing out contracts and how they do their business.
It's so amazing because there are different perspectives, of course, to this story. You got the Suns' perspective. They obviously believe he's not a max player right now. For whatever reason, they're dragging their feet on that. You've got DeAndre Ayton. I wonder what it's going to do to him, to his mentality. He seems to be saying all the right things, and that's a good thing going forward. But I do wonder what it's going to do, because he is kind of an immature guy still. He needs to mature a little bit at some point in time. He's a young guy.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And he is developing, and I'm not coming down on him that way. I just think he does need to mature a little bit. It's the players. James Jones is a general manager that understands players. He still identifies himself as a player. And he knows what's going on inside that locker room, and how could this could possibly alienate of the ownership group and suddenly put a schism right down the middle of the locker room and destroy the chemistry they've got in that locker room. That's why it's so baffling to me. Why are they doing this?
Well,
because they're risking an awful lot with the team chemistry, unless maybe they know what's going on inside that locker room.
Right, true. And I think when you have men like D-Book, CP3, right, those guys,
Jay Crowder,
they have the ability to provide a certain perspective to DA, where if he was on another team that didn't have that type of leadership, or he was, you know, like New Orleans, where it's just him, right? So he may act out a little differently, where those guys are saying, this is the business of the NBA. Because that is the hardest thing to transition into when you come from high school or college, when you have to now deal with separating the relationship. Like, yeah, me and James Jones are real cool. Me and Monty are real cool.
Yep.
But when it comes to paying me, okay, now they're looking at me. It's not a friendship, right? They have drawn a line, and now we're in the business aspect of it. And so having those veterans that have been through multiple deals, that have signed big deals, they can lend advice to DA as far as, this is just the business. It's not personal. It's business. This is the how, and this is how it works. They're going to play this. They're going to push certain leverage points. They want to see how you're going to respond. And at the end of the day, I know people want to get paid. If you go out there and just do you, your money's going to come. Somebody's going to pay you.
Yes.
And that's the way somebody's going to pay me. I'm making great money now. Yes, I want a max deal now. I want the security. But if I go out there with the mindset that I'm about to just ball out and dominate, I actually start putting it in my corner. Well, I ain't. You know what? Y'all waited. I'm not signing, and I'm about to get paid somewhere, right? That's just if you want to think like that. But if you go out there and just handle your business, you're going to get paid.
Yep.
I mean, it is what it is. We all want it now. But you still control you getting the max deal. Because we all know he has that ability. Just go out there and show it every single week and don't give nobody any reason to doubt that, I don't know.
Zoe, you always have great perspective, man. Every topic. We appreciate you coming in.
Oh, anytime, guys. Anytime. Love you guys, man.
Good
love
stuff,
you too.
Yeah. As always.
Happy birthday, Wolf. Got to say that.
Whatever, Zoe.
We were going to sing and bring you a cake, but then we didn't.
Fat
no oh, I would have done
no
that. So y'all scared, man. Y'all got
to
do that type of stuff, man. Come on. Yeah, I got teased every day for being old. So now that I can tease somebody else, we got to do that type of stuff. Just let me know and I'll be the bearer. All right.
Hey, Zoe, you got to be quiet, man. Luke's got to read here. He's got
to. Oh, yeah.
Buzz it up, boy.
We can keep talking about this. We can blow up the break for this. It's worth it.
Buzz it.
Coming up next, we'll take you through the top stories of the day. Wolfing Down Your Lunch is coming up. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.